Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The following is a presentation of Podcast One.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Eric Bolling and Brett Favre on everything from politics and sports to business and culture.
This year has been insane.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
That man right there, number four, Brett Favre. First NFL completion, and it's to himself.
It's big time and prime time.
That's why Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Yep.
Now it's Bolling with Favre.
All right, here we go. Guess what? We've been doing this 3 months, Brett. Three months. Flown by.
Time flies.
Doesn't seem like we have some fun. Don't forget to rate the show. Go to iTunes. Rate and review this show. The more you rate, the more you review, the more you tell people about it, the more people that find out about it, we get up on those lists, and all of a sudden it goes bigger, farther, and wider. Not that it's not going big, far, and wide right now, because it is. Just have a little bit more fun. And also, if you get really creative with a rating, we're going to pick a winner by May 15th or on the May 15th show. We're going to pick a winner for the most creative, most outstanding, the one that is most creative, the one that kind of catches our attention. There have been a couple. Right. There was one that had like brave, original, and then LBOLLING, and then FAVRE, and all these really cool adjectives. That one stood out a little bit, but we'll let Brett pick it. We'll pick one that's going to win a signed jersey, number four jersey, that man right there.
You got it.
All right. So a lot of stuff going on. We usually tape and drop the show on Tuesday. We're doing it on Wednesday. Last night we got some news. There's a final verdict in the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin case, the murder case, and they got a full boat there, Brad. It was less than 10 hours of deliberation, a couple of weeks of testimony from both sides, less than 10 hours. Jury of 12 of his peers, six white people, four African Americans, and two mixed race people, unanimously decided that Derek Chauvin, police officer who killed George Floyd, was guilty on all counts, and that was a pretty fast, pretty swift justice. Your quick thoughts, and we'll dig into it a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I'm aware of the outcome, and I find it hard to believe, and I'm not defending Derek Chauvin in any way. I find it hard to believe, first of all, that he intentionally meant to kill George Floyd. That being said, his actions were uncalled for. I don't care what color the person is on the street. You do not. I mean, I don't know what led to that video that we saw where his knee is on his neck. But the man had thrown in the towel, and it was just uncalled for. And much like the video that surfaced last week of, the cop who pulled over the African-American serviceman, who was afraid to pull over, in the dark and chose to ride it out till he got to a gas station. Understandably so, especially in today's world. And the cop's actions, of course, he was fired immediately. It was uncalled for. And I mean, just absolutely uncalled for and wrong. And so Derek Chauvin, I don't know, you know, I obviously don't know him, know anything about him, but he should have gotten up, you know, long before that. And so, you know, I didn't watch the day to day ins and outs of the trial. But I'm really not surprised at the outcome. Yeah. Fair or not, he deserved something. What? I don't know, but he was absolutely wrong.
So I watched a lot of that trial. And the only reason why I say that, because a lot of stuff I'd never seen before. I'd known about, this is going on a year now. George Floyd was killed on May 25th of last year. And so we're almost a year later. And there was a lot of stuff that was released, some body cam footage, some pictures, but not to the extent of what came out at trial. These prosecutors were meticulous. They were unbelievable. They just took apart the Chauvin's defense. Look, you're on the street, you're a cop, you got people looking to hurt you all the time. I can't put myself in that. And I'm a huge, huge backer of law enforcement. For me, though, as you point out, Brett, at some point, George Floyd gave up. And it didn't really change. Like, they could have gone either way for me even then. And I'm just, because it's tough to be a cop and you don't know and you can't put yourself. But when a fellow cop on body cam right next to Chauvin says, hey, are we going to flip him over? Let's flip him on his side. And Chauvin says he's going to stay right there. The reason why that mattered is because during the trial, the prosecutors brought in expert after expert after expert that said, in Minneapolis, in basic policing, if you've got a suspect, yep, you can put your knee on his neck, and it's one of the methods. But once you have him secured with handcuffs behind his back, he or she, you're supposed to flip him to the side. Otherwise, you restrict their breathing. So when the cop tells Chauvin, let's flip him, and Chauvin says no, for me, that was the point where it just went from, okay, I have absolute sympathy for these guys as law enforcement officers on the street who are getting guns pointed at them, going down dark alleys, not knowing what kind of firepower is coming at them, or going behind doors that you don't know what's behind. But when another officer says, and you know, let's go by the manual, let's go by the book, and he turns them down, that's where it became, I think that's where in my mind that was going to be a conviction. There was so much. Hey, Rob, do you have the actual moment of the verdict? The jury came back and the judge read it.
We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:44 p.m. Signed, juror foreperson, juror number 19.
Yeah, and basically what it is, the judge went through all three of the major counts. One was, you know, like I believe is a second degree murder, and then there was a manslaughter, and then did he kill George Floyd? Was it his? And he was found guilty. He immediately stood up and got handcuffed and got let out. And so there's a whole, you know, 8 weeks from now there'll be another hearing to find out what Judge Cahill is gonna, what type of justice he's gonna administer. But here's the thing, Brett, there were people. So here's the, whether or not you think he was guilty or not, it was what has happened since. So Maxine Waters, a congresswoman from California, goes to Minnesota while the jury is deliberating and said comments like, we need to become more confrontational. President Biden said, I hope we get the right answer, the right outcome, the right outcome. It has to be a right outcome. It's a jury of 12 peers, no matter what it was. But he was insinuating that he was looking for a conviction. The point is, the country, when this conviction came down, I think the country took a sigh of relief, because if it came out the other way, not guilty on some of these counts, there was going to be, you know, a lot of angst going on in some of the streets.
Yeah, and that would have been too bad. You know, it's a shame that George Floyd, first of all, had to die.
Yeah.
Another that Derek Chauvin is responsible and is convicted of murder. That makes me think about, you hear a lot about police reform and defunding the police and all that stuff. I think I think what you said earlier, you know, as I think about what does police reform, law enforcement reform mean or look like? I think it can be as simple as you have protocols in place. You have to stick with them and not, in other words, you said the other officer, his body cam picked up the, you know, the dialogue between the officer who was observing saying, let's turn him over. In other words, he was going by the handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you know, I think you start with, okay, maybe there's some things in the handbook. I don't know this. I'm just throwing out something, but maybe there's some things in the handbook that need to change or be removed. Maybe there's some things that need to be added. I don't think that we should defund the police in no way, shape, or form. I don't think we should remove. I saw where Portland has taken, I forgot the number. How many policemen were subtracted virtually from the force and added like 28 park rangers with mace, bear spray.
Yeah.
And they're on pace to shatter their murder record for a year.
Yeah. A lot of cities are having spikes in violent crime. Let me just throw something at you along the lines of what you just said. There was a poll out 2 days ago, Rasmussen poll, 2 days. The tax on police will result in a reduction in public safety. That was the poll. Are you somewhat or very concerned about that? 66% of whites said we're somewhat or very concerned about a reduction in our communities, a reduction in public safety. 84% of blacks said that they were somewhat or very concerned about it. So all these ideas of, you know, pulling police off the streets and, you know, changing police reform, will it affect and attacking police? Police are being attacked too. Let's be honest. There has to be some, they got to stop. I mean, in the midst of this trial going on, we had a female police officer pull the wrong firearm. She left her taser in her left side, or you're supposed to put your gun, your firearm, in your dominant hand side and your taser in your opposite. She pulls a handgun, and she kills a guy who was simply being pulled over because he had an air freshener on his hanging from his rearview mirror. It's insane. This has got to stop. They have to be policed. They need to be trained better, trained more. That can't happen. Right. So that definitely has to happen. But in the same instance, attacking all police is bad, or we need to defund police, will result in more violent neighborhoods, more violent cities, more problems for everyone, not just white people or black people. Everyone in the community is going to become less safe.
Well, I think, and you touched on it. Look, every respectable neighborhood, whether it be majority of black, maybe it's, you know, a subdivision that is made up of 50-50, maybe there's a big Hispanic population, Asian, whatever. I think we're all in agreement that there's good white people, there's good black people, there's good Asian people, Hispanic, and so on and so forth. And on the flip side, there's bad of each. And for all these good people, especially those with families, pay their taxes, you know, want to live a normal, respectable life, send their kids to good schools, get a quality education. None of these people deserve an escalation in violence. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what is going to happen. You know, the people who are licking their chops are the thieves, the murderers, the hardcore criminals, the career criminals. You know, they're putting their finger on the map and say, man, let's go here. You know, there's one policeman for every 20 streets or something, you know, whatever that number would be. But in other words, mm-hmm. you can just about get away with anything.
So before we move on from this topic, a couple of things that were popping today. The NFL, the Las Vegas Raiders tweeted, "I can breathe now," in response to the verdict, and they're getting a lot of pushback for that. Like, it's one of those things that we talk about a lot here, Brett. Like, sports getting involved in politics, and especially this culture war that's going on, this race war that feels like it's bubbling. It just kind of adds to it. I personally love to hear what you have to say about it, but I personally just wish I could just turn on the TV and watch some sports and not have to have a social justice message sent to me. I just want to watch some football, basketball.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. And I caught a lot of backlash last week. At least that's what I've heard. I didn't read or listen to anything. You know, my first thought, first of all, backtracking to last week, I stand by what I said. But for those in some or players that I played with and certainly played against who had harsh comments for me, and that's fine, you know, because that's what America is. I mean, we can express our thoughts freely, and I respect all those. You know, look, I just gave my opinion. I'm certainly not a racist, in spite of what some people may think. And you know, I'm for unity, and I just feel like there's a better way to unify our country. You know, that being said, there's a lot of things that need to stop, and maybe there is politics and sports and has been for a long time. But from a player standpoint, my reason for saying that, I think the player should play. And look, if an owner wants to get into politics as a player, you can't control that. Your job is to play. And I, from what I remember, it's pretty hard to play and play consistently good and be accountable week in and week out, even the most diligent player. So,
yeah, distraction, right? I mean,
I can assure you the coaches, especially the head coach, is kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. But he wants the most focused players on his team, not the most talented. If you got the most talented and the most focused players, you got a shot to win it all nowadays.
Yeah.
Or even in the past, but more so with all the distractions taking place today. You know, if you got a team that can zero in on what's most important, and that's your job, you got a chance.
Your job is put up numbers, right? Put up the numbers, not have an opinion. I mean, look, I do have a qualification to have to weigh in on this. I did play professional baseball, played sports my whole life. And I will tell you, you're supposed to leave everything outside the stadium. You get to the stadium, it's supposed to be about the game, about winning, about beating the other team. I'm wondering if some of these comments on these very divisive issues like race are going to affect how players on the same teams look at each other, treat each other, play with each other. If it starts, that's why politics is, it ruins everything.
Yeah. Like, you know, my thought on that is that's the one place where not the one place, but one of the places where it will not affect. I mean, look, there may be an issue somewhere, but man, the guys in that locker room usually are very close, and no one sees skin color, at least not in my experiences. And in my 20 years, I had some wonderful teammates, black and white, Hispanic, who I love dearly and still do. And when I think about what I miss from the, you know, people ask all the time, you miss it. I miss those guys cracking jokes in the locker room, playing pranks on other guys. You know, the bus rides to the stadium, you know, strategizing with your teammates and just having fun, you know, crying with the guys, laughing with the guys. I miss that. So I think that there's more of a safe haven in the locker rooms than there is You know, I think that that's the one place you can relax, and you're in it together. You're certainly in it together.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Speaking of when you're in the zone, Steph Curry, Brett, is in the zone. Steph Curry, who's had a phenomenal career.
Never not in the zone?
He lives in the zone.
Banged up a little bit.
He lives in the zone, but you know, in 2016 he had a breakout year, and now in the last 10 games he's averaging 39 points. He's draining threes from 5 feet behind the 3-point line. I got to say, he's the best pure shooter the game has ever seen.
Well, if not, he's certainly one of them. I'm the age-old argument of who's the greatest is always up to the generation that is given their favorite. And Steph Curry's, you know, is unbelievable. But so was Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. So was Larry Bird. So was Magic Johnson. And my favorite growing up was Dr. J. If you're talking about just pure shooting, maybe so. I tend to look at back when they played defense, back when Michael Jordan was as good a defensive player as he was an offensive player. You knew when you stepped on the court and when you left the court, you were going to be in a battle with him because he played just as hard defensively. And I just don't see that these days.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I remember the old days of East in the East, the games would be in the 80s, and on the West would be in the 120s. Now it seems like everyone's just chuckers, as they say in Seinfeld. They're all chuckers. Rob has a little bit of audio of, now let's set this up a little bit. If you don't know Jake Paul is a YouTuber who got pulled out of YouTube world and fought an MMA fight and somehow won and no one saw it coming. Now he's becoming like a legitimate fighter. Rob, you have a little audio. I think Snoop Dogg is in on the audio booth listening to his man Jake Paul fight. Who is this Jake Paul fighting?
Ben Askren.
Ben Askren, who's a if you're an MMA guy, Rob, he's a pretty big star in MMA, yeah?
Well, he's a legit MMA guy. I don't know if he's a big star, but he's a legit fighter for sure. He's not a boxer. And that's the question of, you know, when's Jake Paul going to box a boxer?
Let's take a listen.
Jake Paul sparred with former world champion Jean Pascal.
Get my money, Jake. Get my money, Jake.
So Jake walked away with $690,000 for the fight. Askren $500K for the fight. Right? If they ever do a pay per view on a boxing with Jake, he could make multiples of that.
Let me just get this clear. So Jake won.
Yeah.
Do you think it was rigged?
No, I don't.
He knocked him out in the first round.
Yeah, and this whole thing is like Rob, right? He was a YouTuber. He and his brother are YouTubers, and they're both boxing.
Jake and Logan, yes.
I did see his fight against the former basketball player, and
Nate Robinson.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he looked like he had some. You know, he's probably got some boxing history somewhere along the way. You know, yeah, he's a YouTube sensation, but even if he doesn't, you know, maybe he's found his calling. And I mean, give the guys due. I mean, if he keeps doing it, it's at some point.
Another story.
We all love quality entertainment. And some think boxing or UFC or MMA is not quality entertainment. And that's fine.
No, I love that.
I like it.
I'm a huge fan of that. I remember back in the, remember Butterbean? Remember Bean?
Oh, love Butterbean. Had a chance to meet.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You know, I think about when I think about like the just the non-professional. I don't know how what term to use. The non-professional, and Jake Paul would be one of those. You know, just kind of like a where did they come from?
Right.
Or doesn't look like they should be. Butterbean didn't look like he should be in a ring.
Nope.
But if he hit you, you knew you were in there with a guy who knew how to fight. But I remember another guy, and this is really when I started liking UFC, Tank Abbott.
Okay.
Now, Tank Abbott had a goatee, looked like he was in a biker gang, you know, Hell's Angels or something. I'm not saying he was, but he had that look. But what was so – and he was a badass. But what was so cool about it, you know – I don't even know if Buffer was doing it at the time, but they say, okay, trained in jujitsu, mm-hmm. karate, blah, 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 out of Brazil. They come to Tank Abbott and they say, Tank Abbott, wherever he was from, say California, trained in barroom brawling. Now you gotta appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, what kind of expertise you got, Tank? Barroom brawling.
Well, do you remember at the time, this is probably the 90s or so ballpark, the best fighters were remember Royce Gracie?
Oh yeah. The Gracie family in general.
The whole family, the little guys, and they had these crazy holds, these Brazilian jiu-jitsu holds that the biggest, strongest, badassest guys in the world come in and they see little Gracie and they like, they thought they had it all confident and they'd be tapping out in a minute because he'd get him in a hole where they're going to.
Yeah, the Peruvian necktie.
Or break your wrist or something like that, right? Yeah, right. And they just had a whole
yeah.
crazy.
You go in there and you take one punch and you open up the door and next thing you know, they got you in one of my favorites. I'm not sure what it is a Peruvian necktie.
It's the legs, right? Isn't it the legs wrapped around the other guy's neck?
Something like that.
Yeah, and Conor McGregor was one of the best of all time. Yeah, these guys go on to make millions upon millions of dollars. You know, Brett, one thing I always hear from business owners is that it's hard to find really good help. What you really need is help getting a short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed.
Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed.
Yeah. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job's description faster and more accurately. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. You can choose from more than 130 skill tests, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet exactly your requirements.
According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed.
Yeah. So get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/bowling, B-O-L-L-I-N-G. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/bowling. Indeed.com/bowling. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. You need good people. Go to Indeed. Indeed.
I'm glad I don't read as well as you, Eric.
More than willing to
switch. Hey, what can I say? I'm a football player.
Let's flip the script next week and
we'll make it work.
I don't know if I ever told you guys, but my oldest grandson is 11. So about a year ago, he was 10 at the time. May have even been 9. He's really smart. Not very much athletic ability, you know, which is fine. He is a super smart. Takes after his mom. Who that's our oldest daughter, and she graduated law school at Loyola and way smarter than I could ever be. But so he's starting to get at that age where, you know, he's obviously too young to have watched me play, but kids are talking about it and, you know, and it's kind of piquing his interest. So one day I'm driving him to school And he's like, Paul, he calls me Paul. He said, Paul, did you always know you wanted to be a pro football player? And I said, yeah, I really did. I said, it was either that or pro baseball. One of the two. I said, what about you? You want to be a pro football player? And he goes, no, football players aren't that smart. I said, well, you know, you got a pretty good point there.
Yeah, exactly. Like a kid did not hold back.
That's awesome.
Ted Nugent, friend of the show.
Yeah, I saw that. He got COVID. I suspect he'll be fine. You know, I don't want to downplay COVID, but I've had it. Just about everyone I know has had it. And I think just about everyone, I mean, there's a few exceptions, but they said it was the flu or sinus infection was much worse. So I hope that's the case for Ted.
Well, you know, he had said it's a scam or it's a hoax or something, and then he got it. And Ted's a good friend of mine for a very long time.
Well, maybe it still could be, Ted. Let's just look at, I'm not saying it is, but it still could be. Maybe you tested positive for the flu, but the tester or testees were told to say, all right, we need 5 positive tests today. And Ted just happened to be one of the 5.
He did say it was the worst he's ever felt, though, coming out of the test. So
I wonder what that means on the on his chemical mind makeup. You know, I'm not saying chemical, but I mean that dude is high on life.
Yeah.
And is he, when he hits the floor every day, I mean, he's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Every day.
Full tilt, wide open. So what is he now, an 8?
I don't know. I texted him. I hope you feel better, brother. He's like, oh, hell yeah. So he's,
yeah, I don't see him staying in bed for long.
So you, my friend, sent out a text over the weekend talking about a really kind of interesting good idea that Warren Buffett had, his plan to fix the deficit. And let's just go through a couple of the ideas. You said he could fix the deficit.
It's a great idea.
You could fix the deficit in 5 minutes.
Why don't you tell our listeners basically what, and it was a long text that I sent, but basically what a congressman makes.
Yeah. So this is amazing. You're right. First of all, the salary of U.S. president is $180,000 for life after he retires. It's $400,000 while he's a president. It goes on for life. A U.S. House of Representatives and a senator, either one of them, make $174,000. They'll make it for life after they retire. So let's just say you're a one-term representative. You work 2 years, you'll get $174,000 for life. Not to mention while you're one of these people in D.C., you don't pay for anything. Every single night, someone's taking you out to dinner, you have free gym memberships, haircuts, every single thing you do, someone's picking up the tab. Each member, whether you're a senator or a congressman, has what's called a member's allowance. So that $174,000 salary is a misnomer because a big name senator can have up to $2, $3 million per year for office expenses. And what's an office expense? Every single thing they do. They can release cars with it. They can buy water. They can for the office, everything. But they'll spend it because if they don't spend it, they won't get it the next year. So $174,000 plus anywhere between, I'd say, I think the brand new House of Representatives people make about $1 million up to maybe $2-$2.5 million and higher for big name called leadership senators. So a lot of money, but that salary goes on for life. Speaker of the House, $223,500 for life. So when you get appointed to these leadership positions within the Senate or within the House of Representatives, that's why they're all jonesing to get those named chairman of these committees, because it's additional salary, which goes on for life. Now, as you point out, Brett, a deployed soldier, $38,000. Salary of a teacher. Average teacher, $40,000. So what does Buffett say? And you can weigh in on this. No tenure, no pensions for a congressman, congresswoman. They collect the salary when their office, when they're in office, receive no pay when they're out of office.
Like normal people.
Like normal people. Right.
Yeah. So you quit your job. You don't get paid.
Yeah. You know, and the difference is you're theoretically, you're supposed to be going to D.C. As a member of the House of Representatives, as a senator, as a vice president, as a president, as an elected official for the good of the country.
Right. Not,
it's called public service.
Right.
It's not called career move. It's called public service for a reason. So why are we paying these people for life? He also goes on to say that you have to pay for your own medical benefits and pension plans. Here's a big one. He recommends that they can't vote for them for their own pay raises, which is what they do right now. They vote for their own pay raises. But the big one is term limits, right? Just you get to stay one term as a senator or three terms as a congressperson. So that's 6 years of either one of those. And then you got to move on. I think this is brilliant. I think this is brilliant, Brett.
Not only brilliant, an obvious, I mean, come on. And I have friends who are congressmen and senators. I certainly didn't know what you just said, you know, that they receive salaries for life.
Here's the big one. Here's the big one, though. The rule, if you pass a law that says anytime there's a deficit of more than 3% of GDP, so GDP right now is about $20 trillion. So if you have a 3% or greater deficit, which is insane, that's like all the time, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for reelection. So they'll be forced to either get the budget under control or you're not up for reelection no matter what. That's a great one. That right there is the one. That's a kicker.
I know they wouldn't go for that, but I think one of the things you said that gets overlooked so much is that these congressmen, senators, people within, our political regime that are voted on by us are voted on to speak and represent the people.
Mm-hmm.
So does it not make perfect sense what Buffett is saying that, they can resolve this issue immediately? Not saying, I think resolving it immediately and then, you go back in normal everyday life. Maybe you resume your tenure as a congressman or senator. And if we fall back into a deficit, you do the right thing and resolve it. And I mean, it seems so simple. I mean, Buffett obviously is way, way smarter. I don't know. I've never met Warren. Don't know anything about him other than he's got a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
A gazillion because he's pretty sharp.
He saved the global economy. I know I've met him a couple of times. I can't say I know him personally, but I've met him a few times because I come from that finance world. In 2007, there was a run on credit. So we were obviously about the stock market starting to crash then and things like that. But there was a really, really more important thing going on. Credit. The credit markets were overextended. So banks had pushed out a bunch of loans to people who should never have been in homes. And all of a sudden those loans started to default, but they were defaulting at a fast rate. So all these institutions were holding this, what's called bad paper, bad loans. Bear Stearns failed. No one saw that coming. Lehman Brothers failed. No one saw that coming. And then it kind of went countrywide. It went Bank of America. And they all started to fall apart. And I was at the trading desk at the time and I'm watching these stocks just go boom, 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 fail. Boom, 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 fail. And these were big, multi-hundred-billion-dollar banks that were going, the biggest names on the street. They held a vast majority of the wealth in the world, really. I'll never forget this. It was one after the other, and they were just taking them out and just killing them one at a time, one at a time. I don't know who was doing it. Whoever was doing it was just having their will with every single institution. And the whole financial system was ready to collapse. It was ready to go. Never forget this. Goldman Sachs, the not the biggest bank on Wall Street, but I think it was the most respected. It was always seen as the gold standard of banks, Goldman Sachs. If you worked at Goldman Sachs, you had to come from an Ivy League school. They never extended themselves. They're always that untouchable. They were the best of the best. Goldman Sachs was $120 a share, $100 a share, $180, 90, 70, 60, 50. It got down to $25 a share. And I said, if Goldman Sachs goes, the entire financial system, just not in America, but the global financial system is toast. At that same time, that day, you know how you put money in the bank and they give you interest because they want your money and you do, okay, fine. I'll put my money in your bank. You give me interest. The world was so afraid of the financial system failing. No one wanted to put money in any of these banks because they're all failing. You had to go to the Fed. The Federal Reserve was taking individuals' money, but you, with the money, had to pay the Federal Reserve to protect your money from failure. It's the first time it's ever happened. It hasn't happened since, thank God. But anyway, so Goldman Sachs gets to $25 a share, about to go under. The world was ready to go, and Warren Buffett stepped up and put $5 billion, which for him, it wasn't a lot of money, but at the time, $5 billion into Goldman Sachs, and he stopped the slide right there. And that was dead low. Everyone took a sigh, a breather. The banking system got its legs under them, and everything started to get better. But Warren Buffett his company probably made $100, $150 billion on that one trade. But more importantly, I to this day will tell you he saved the global financial system single-handedly.
I certainly am no expert in the financial world at all, and nor do I want to be. I think, you know, it's kind of, and I know you worked on Wall Street, you can drive yourself absolutely bananas if you're living day to day by what happens on Wall Street or your stock but I mean, you have to respect Warren Buffett. And I think how he's talking about resolving this, and we're being absolutely 100% serious here. It seems so simple that, you know, I would never doubt Warren Buffett. The question is will the American public, will the majority of Americans know this knowledge or hear it or let it sink in? And what are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it is operative. If a coach goes, a coach, Brett Favre, he's got some great players on the field, and he goes 0-16, he gets fired, right? He's not long for the sidelines. If a corporate CEO has a great product and his company is losing money and the stock prices, he gets fired. They get escorted out the door. If a senator runs a $1 trillion deficit, allows a president to run up a $1 trillion deficit when we're already 27 trillion in the hole, or they're basically going 0-16 for the American public, they're protected. They're paid for life.
It really, when I read that this past weekend, that these politicians serve 2 years, some serve more, regardless of how long you serve, you get paid a huge amount of money for life. Now, my mother and father were both school teachers in Mississippi, and the salaries have gone up a little bit for teachers.
Yeah.
But we're still the last, I think. And for any school teacher in this country, to hear that congressmen, senators, Speaker of the House, so on and so forth, get paid for life.
Crazy.
I mean, when they're done and playing golf or whatever, fishing, they're getting paid 5, 6, 7, 8 times more than some teachers get paid in a year. I think my mother and father, when I was old enough to remember, there was a strike in Mississippi. It was a long time ago for teachers. And I think my mom was making $19,000 as a special education teacher. My dad was also the football coach and was making about $23,000 with his football salary. with four kids. Now, we made it, but I mean, we've got this thing backwards. School teachers are certainly one of the most important people.
Yeah, law enforcement, school teachers, frontline first responders, military. Medical. These are people who make a difference in everyday Americans' lives. Not
it should be paid for, if anybody's going to be paid for life, whether you work it or not, it's these people.
Yeah, yep, yep. Not a proportion of their salary as a pension later. Just give them the whole. These are the most. Obviously, it'll cost a lot more money. But guess what? Who the hell cares? We're running $1 trillion deficits forever. Paying these fools, these clowns that are supposed to come to DC as a public service. They're supposed to come from the community, from the business community, from different neighborhoods to help the country, not create Harry Reid, a senator for 50 years, came into politics out of college, left politics, never ever having to work in the business community. Never making more than at the most $174,000 a year. Earlier in his career is probably much lower than that, but leaves and buys $10 million worth of real estate in Las Vegas. Now, how do you think that happened?
He wasn't a school teacher.
He wasn't a school teacher. He was afforded a lot of, I guess, wink, wink, good information, good investment information.
Yeah, I think
we got it backwards.
Our citizens of this country have to make a stand. I mean, I when I heard this, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. In fact, I didn't believe it. And talking to several people, it's legit. Yeah, it's legit. And, you know, I just think that teachers, frontline workers, military, and police certainly get the short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Well, we've done it every week. We're just about finishing here, but Brett, give Poncho the Bitcoin update. Why don't we do that? Hold on, let me get my latest print on Bitcoin, 55,500. When we started the show, we were, I think, 33,000, 34,000 or so. Brett, we're going to get into this, but we'll talk about some of the digital craziness going forward. There's an artist right over here. I'm in South Carolina, a couple miles away. He's got a studio. He put up a few pieces of art with Christie's in the last week or so. Just a kind of a no-name. You probably never heard of him. Beeple, digital art. Brett, he sold it for $69 million. Life-changing stuff.
I can't do art at all, whether it be digital or physically.
I think we're on the same boat.
We talked about this yesterday. My older daughter, who went to law school, got a degree, did law for a year, realized that wasn't her calling. She is one of the great. I don't want to blow her up too bad, but Brittany can paint, can draw like nobody's business. Now, I asked her last night if she could do digital art. She said, that's a whole different animal. To me, it all is a whole different animal. But I said, maybe you need to, take an online class in digital art.
That's right. Sell it for $69 million next to Beeple. All right. Well, maybe she can paint a likeness of Poncho's face when he realizes Bitcoin's $55,000 of Bitcoin, and we can digitalize it and memorialize it.
Tragedy.
Tragedy. All right, Brett, for Brett Favre, Brett, great. Another great week. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next week. Anything big on the calendar this week? You got some volleyball to watch?
Yeah. Our youngest daughter is playing beach volleyball for Southern Miss. We have the conference tournament starting Friday in Huntsville, Alabama. And we're the youngest in the of all the programs, so we get beat up pretty bad. But as parents, me and Deanna love watching them, and we dread the day it's over. For people who have done travel ball and follow their kids, I know you get it. But
yep.
So we'll be there this weekend. I'm hoping that we have Tom Brady and Kenny Chesney on next week.
Oh wow, great! There's a big. That's called we'll a deep.
They're checking called their schedules and see what they can.
That's a deep tease, as they say in the TV business, meaning it's you're teasing a potential.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a done deal, but I'm working on it.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to it, and always great. And see you next week, everybody.
Later.
Coming real, it's the next episode.
What about Brett Favre?
Follow the show on Twitter for the latest news and links to all our social media channels.
Bowling with Favre is executive produced by Ali Brito and Rob Jenners.
This has been a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One.